Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack. And in today's Untold Story, we're talking about the third annual Common Roots Festival taking place in downtown St. Cloud Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, August 22nd through the 24th, with a special kickoff party featuring the Gibby Hibbies on Wednesday the 21st at Beaver Island, starting around 5. Where you'll also be able to catch a preview of a little documentary about the music scene here in St. Cloud. Because believe it or not, the St. Cloud area has a very vibrant music history. So today we're going to talk with a couple of folk. First will be Don Yellick from the Common Roots Festival. We'll talk about all the neat things going on later this week. And then we'll talk with Zach Dorhalt, musician in a couple of bands, small business owner, and a member of the Independent Music Collaborators of Central Minnesota. We'll talk about the economics of music, the history of St. Cloud's music scene, as well as the future of the music scene, because times are a-changing, I tell you what. For more information on the 11 venues, 13 stages, and 200-plus artists playing for Common Roots 2019, you can find that online at commonrootsfest.com, as well as link to it off of our website at kvsc.org. And we got it all over the place, too. So, Don, welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. And how about we start off? You can just introduce yourself and, well, what do you do with Common Roots?
I'm Don Yellick, and I am the core team coordinator for the festival.
Right on. So this is going to take place here August 22nd through the 4th?
It is the 22nd through the 24th, although we have a big kickoff party this year on the 21st at Beaver Island Brewing.
Yep, that's Wednesday. What time does that start?
Starts from 5 to 7. We have our celebrity beer tenders on tap, serving beers for everybody. Some pizza from the Green Mill will be there. It's their usual Wednesday night fundraising for nonprofits.
Yeah, and it timed out perfectly for this.
Right.
Yes, it did.
Right after that, we actually have a little bit of a screening of a trailer for the Common Roots film that we did in conjunction with the St. Cloud Film Fest this year. And then from 8 to 10, the Gibby Hibbies, which is a local band, will be playing.
Yeah, they don't play too often anymore, so it's definitely a chance to catch something kind of neat there.
Exactly.
So Common Roots, how did this come about? And this is the third year now?
This is the third year. It started in 2017. That year, Fifth Avenue was really, really dug up. I mean, literally, it was hard to do foot traffic. There was no, obviously, automotive traffic on the avenue. I mean, it looks great now, but during that time, it was really difficult for the businesses there because it was difficult to get there, so people didn't come down. So a group of people got together. They'd been kind of dreaming about having a music festival in St. Cloud for a while and decided this would be a good opportunity to have one. And they would highlight original music and try to bring some business downtown that hadn't been there all summer. So that's really kind of the way it started. They really threw it together in about 9 weeks. It was hugely successful. Both the venues and people that played in the festival, as well as people that went, asked for it to happen again. So here we are in year three.
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I remember that first year. It was the Fifth Ave construction. It became kind of a thing, you know. It was kind of silly. You know, everybody had to drag their – people would help people drag their equipment across the construction to – and, you know, it just – it really kind of defined the town for that summer, for sure. And it was neat to see people just take it lightheartedly, and all of a sudden there's a festival.
Yeah. Right. And back in, now that we're back in year three, we're actually kind of in that same situation. While no streets are dug up, there is street construction all over downtown.
Oh, yes. What is there not? So how many bands are there? What you give some details about what's going on? Because there's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. We have about 13 venues with 16 stages this year. We added a couple new ones, House of Pizza and MC's Dugout, our new venues this year. We have our usual haunts, three stages at the Red Carpet. We do not have the Pioneer Place stage because that's under construction as well. So we have a few less actual full bands than we normally have because we don't have the full stage space. But we probably field, in terms of individual musicians, 300-plus bands, actual acts, around 100, 120.
Nice. That's substantial.
It is.
And these are local musicians.
They all have some sort of tie to Minnesota.
Yeah.
So a lot of them are from central Minnesota. We have quite a few that come from the cities. But they all have some sort of tie to Minnesota.
Yeah, well, that counts as local.
You know? I mean, exactly.
It really does. If you're Minnesota, that counts as local, in my opinion, because Minnesota does have a great music tradition.
So they do.
It's nice to be able to celebrate that, which is actually what Common Roots is about. You know, we come back to, like, the businesses, and you can't have a music scene unless you have a business or businesses that are supported by that scene. So
right. Well, and it's not only our venues. We've got other businesses. Jules Bistro, the Copper Pony, the Spice of Life Tea Shop, you know, Fitzharris Athletic, which has been a local business for years. So we not only just try to highlight places that have music, but businesses downtown themselves.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's part of the whole downtown environment. You know, the more things that are going on, the better, because if somebody goes down for one thing, they're more likely to stop next door for a different thing.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, absolutely. So what are you looking forward to this year at Common Roots?
Oh, gosh. Well, I would love to be able to say I want to see every band, but that's just not possible with the number of venues that we have. The nice thing is you can see a lot of them because they play 45-minute sets. So, and we've staggered the starts a little bit at various venues so people can move around a little bit more and catch pieces that they might not be able to catch a whole set of but want to see more than one. Oh. Again, the new thing this year is our kickoff, which is really great. Beaver Island's been a great supporter. They brewed us a Common Roots beer this year, which is almost gone. So if you can find it in any of our venues, grab a glass because it's absolutely fantastic. Jupiter Moon Ice Cream, which is a new ice cream, small batch ice cream business in town, made us an ice cream. Which is like a root beer float flavor, so a Common Roots beer float.
Oh, nice.
Which is really fun. Like I said, the local businesses have been super supportive of the festival.
Yeah, and Jupiter Ice Cream, it's catch them at Summertime by George, too.
That's correct.
Because they've got a cart. They don't have a brick-and-mortar place, but they'll go places with their ice cream, and it's good ice cream.
Yeah, it's like a bicycle with a freezer on the front, so it's really fun to see them. And, yeah, they've committed to a dollar off every one of their Common Roots ice creams back to the festival through August. So even after the festival, which is nice.
Nice.
But our bazaar on Saturday is always really fun. That's where we have our student stage. So we have students from all over central Minnesota, music students who come and actually get a chance to perform for an audience, which is something that they don't have a lot of opportunity to do. So we have that this year. We also have booths with local artists there. So you can browse, talk to artists, purchase things if you want. Adam Spaeth will be there doing a community picture painting, so you can participate in that. So that's always a really fun event from 11 to 4 on Saturday in the Lady Slipper lot.
It's right next to the parking garage and Fitzharris and
Old Brick House.
Old Brick House, yep.
Yes, exactly.
There you go. And now let's talk a little bit about the buttons. That's kind of important.
It is.
what is it about the buttons?
Well, the buttons are your ticket, basically, but they have two functions. They're $10. We make it very affordable for people to come down. A button allows you into any event through the whole festival. So really, you pay your $10, you can get in anywhere without having to worry about anything all through the festival. But the other piece of that is beginning back on August 1st through Labor Day, there are discounts to area businesses attached to that button. So you can go into the Local Blend in St. Joe, Rock Creek Coffee in Sauk Rapids, the Copper Pony in downtown St. Cloud, any of our venues, Fitzharris Athletic, and they all have a discount attached to that button. So you actually can pay your $10, and if you frequent any of those businesses, you can actually make more money back than you spent on your button if you really play it right.
There you go.
We also use the money from the buttons to pay our musicians. Uh-huh. All of our musicians are paid.
Yeah, because this is volunteer driven. This is, you know, I mean, there's the, and that's what's kind of neat about the whole thing is that, you know, the musicians are getting paid, you know, because this is their job. This is what they do.
Yep.
And, you know, the businesses, they're going to be getting revenue. That's the thing. And then, I mean, it's just bringing people together and then the rest take care of itself. But, yeah, you've got this entity which is pulling them all together, and that's volunteer driven.
So. Well, it is volunteer driven. We're very fortunate to have a grant from the CMAB, from the Legacy Fund. That's, you know, obviously voter there. The funds are voter driven, but that pays for most of our administrative costs behind the scenes. So, yeah, everything.
You got to make the button somehow.
Everything from the sale of the buttons to our T-shirts to any of the other merch that we have. This year, we actually have limited edition posters that we commissioned from local artists. All of that money goes back into the festival to pay our musicians and our artists, because we paid our artists when we commissioned those posters as well.
Totally. Well, there you go. Yeah. So what does music mean to you? Why is this important?
Well, music in general, I grew up with music. I actually just told this story to a friend last night when we were at one of our pre-parties that growing up, I was always surrounded by music. My mom used to tell stories about me being in a crib while she played the piano and sang to me. My mom also played the organ and played the accordion. So lots of music in the house. I grew up playing piano. Picked up guitars, people do after a while, played cello and clarinet, you know, as you go through school and pick up band and orchestra and that kind of thing. And while I don't perform on any of those anymore, vocals was more of my thing. It's still such an integral part of people's lives. Music can change your mood. It can speak to how you feel. The people that write the songs, our original song artists that play in this festival, have some amazing songwriting talent. And so when you can't do that yourself, it's always nice for me to surround myself with that talent.
Yeah, adds more to life. There you go. Oh, if somebody wanted more information on the plethora of bands and stages and times, how would they go about finding that online?
Well, you can go to commonrootsfest.com, which has our complete lineup on there, and any other information you want to know about the festival. And in fact, that's probably the best place to get the most up-to-date lineup, because as anybody dealing with that many artists, there are occasionally changes in venue or changes in artists. So the most up-to-date information is always online at commonrootsfest.com. And we also have a Facebook page, and you can check out a lot of our artist profiles there. So if you want to know about an artist that you're interested in seeing, that's a great place to go and check out their profile.
Excellent. Well, thanks for stopping in and talking today.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Yeah, we'll see you at Common Roots.
Yay.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. We just talked with Don Yellick from the Common Roots Festival, which takes over downtown St. Cloud this Thursday, August 22nd through Saturday, August 24th. And next on this Untold Story of the Common Roots Festival, talk about why music is important with a member of the Independent Music Collaborators of Central Minnesota, Zach Dorhall.
I moved here to St. Cloud in 1999, and I would say KVSC was part of the decision why I came to St. Cloud State University. I could pick it up in the northwestern corner of the suburbs where I grew up, and wasn't quite sure what I wanted to go to school for, and I did some training the summer before I got here, and just because I loved the, you know, the original music, and never ended up being that involved because I got involved more of kind of music bands and scenes. So I moved here for school, 99, and spent a lot of time just following bands at the Java Joint and Java Z, which were kind of all ages or 18 plus venues downtown back then. And, sometimes it was simple, do we go see the band here or there? And you could walk down there, you know, freshman, sophomore in college. And I was always trying to get something started up. I had some original bands and, then eventually, got in with started a cover band. I know that's kind of a no-no, and it was a no-no with a lot of my friends too. But I just really wanted to play, and I played, I'm a bass player, and first started with Docket 18 and Sparring Roman. We changed our names, and we played weekly at DB's starting in 2001. That's where we started, and Wednesday nights, it was busy. It was always busy there during those few years. And, you know, that was kind of our, played a lot of alternative 90s rock, tried our best with requests, and went from there, played a couple more cover bands. I was just trying to think earlier, how many bands have I played with?
Yeah.
I don't think I remember all of them, but the bigger ones, like Blueprint for a while, So a lot of cover bands. And then finally, I was always playing with friends. And then I guess original band, Nelson Flavor, was me, Modell, Cary area, and Brent Gloon. And so we probably frequented the Rocks and the Carpet every once in a while. And that was about the time where the downtown scene, as far as the population of people in the bars, was really kind of starting to decline.
Yeah.
At the same time, you saw this crossover where finally more original bands were dominating the scene and starting to be where that's where the people were. So I've been playing, and right now I play with a band called Scotch Rockets. So yeah, that's a small part of my life, but the part that gives it maybe the meaning and stability I need to function as a human being.
Well, yeah, totally. Yeah, it's like you've got a lot of stuff going on, you know, just community-wise, business-wise, and things like that. But yet, it's nice to have that thing to come back to.
Yeah.
It's play.
Yeah.
Literally, it's play. It's the same thing I do every Thursday or every other Thursday over there in the on-air studio is, you know what? For these hours, I am playing with the biggest stereo in town and cranking it up, man. And yeah, it's a thing, and it helps you with other parts of your life.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, you can function.
Everything could go away, and I still have music. And sometimes when things get rough or bad days or periods of time where everything feels like it sucks, still got music. So it's like, thank God, just have that. That's not going to go away. Even if I injure myself physically, I can still listen to it and be part of the scene, maybe help run a sound bar here and there. But
find some wood and knock on it, dude.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
There's some in here.
It's a radio station. There's no wood. Well, one thing we were chatting about was the all ages venue. I think that's a great way to judge the vitality of a music scene is by the all ages venues. And there used to be many of them in St. Cloud, and I think we're lacking right now, but that just means there's a vacuum, and let's do something.
I'm on the board for the Independent Music Collaborative of Central Minnesota. We're kind of the nonprofit that helped launch the Common Roots, and part of my dream goal is to reestablish an all-ages venue. While we have these little pop-up events here and there, and you have like Teen Battle of the Bands, what's missing is that place you can go to pretty much any night of the week, run into more musicians, have a performance space, a place to call home. Without that, you don't have kind of a feeder for the bar scene. And you shouldn't have to be 21 or older in order to be part of the scene. And it kind of squashes the talent. So, late 90s, the early 2000s, we had the Java Joint and Java Z, where there's music at least a few nights of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was some kids with a broken drum set and, fifth hand instruments making some noise, or Wesley Willis, or good, touring bands
mm-hmm.
who were on KVSC doing a set before they did Monday Night Live or something.
Yeah, my introduction to Mark Mallman.
Yeah.
It was
yes.
the Java
yeah.
Joint.
Yes.
I was like, who is this guy? I love it here.
Yep.
And then there we go. Yeah.
So there you go. I forgot about that, but you got to see that stuff. And just be part of it. And so we have to. I think our community desperately needs that. I'm currently on a mission, through IMCCM to create that space. Because if you run the numbers, and I have many times, whether it's trying to get a record store or something going downtown, nothing that's going to run in the black financially with a traditional business model, mm-hmm. which is kind of why we created the nonprofit, to help sustain the growth and sustainability of this amazing world of original musicians out there in our community. Now we have to reach deeper and sustain that at that all ages level. It's needed. It's going to happen. If we build it, they will come.
Exactly.
And
It is. It's something for the kids to do, because there really isn't, and there is a lot of music out there.
Mm-hmm.
The school district does a great job encouraging kids. And, you know, this is another thing we're talking about. Our district, 742, they've got the highest number of kids in apartments.
Yeah.
You were saying. And that has an interesting effect because you can't have a garage band in an apartment.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, a place for kids to experiment, to do a thing, to learn this craft, because there are some, I've run into some, you know, second graders that have amazing musical talent.
Yeah.
And I would love to see where they are in 10 years.
Yeah.
It will be amazing if we encourage it. And I think part of the having this all-ages venue where they can gravitate to and see what's out there. Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, so what other memories of different venues that you've played in over the years you got? What are some of your favorites and or infamous moments that you care to put on tape?
Well, there's, I mean, you have to, so downtown in the early 2000s, there, it was busy as busy could be. It was, and there was bands on every corner, and most of it was pretty dominated by cover bands, right? You had the Press, which you'd get your hard rock cover bands. You had the Red Carpet, where you'd get maybe a little Targeted, and then we would be competing at this point in time across the street at D.B. Searles, which on the second floor there, they had a little stage, and it was great. But we were really competing with across the street at the Red Carpet. And we didn't have much competing to do because it was so busy that these places were running out of capacity on, you know, every Thursday, Friday night, where the bouncers were out there with clickers, making sure there weren't too many people in there. There was lines outside of the Press and the Carpet and D.B. Searles every Thursday and Friday, sometimes on Saturdays. And a lot of that was the students at St. Cloud State University. And then as demographics changed, the economy changed, that just kind of slowly faded away. It didn't matter how good you were. And that scene kind of disappeared. But being able to crowd surf and literally feel the building of D.B. Searles moving, because there were so many people in it, it was quite an experience. And we were not a very great cover band. we got because a couple guys in the band were on the football team, so we had this natural built-in audience. But it was fun because those crowds were just so organic. I mean, they just came with the space, and getting into the space was the hardest part. And I haven't seen crowds like that ever since. For multiple reasons, there's definitely not one thing to blame. But, you know, as soon as 2008 economy kind of tanked, it got really quiet. But the pros are the rise of more original music. And I can guarantee you original music has saved some of these venues. I would say save the Red Carpet. They turned the Keller into live. That's like the busiest bar there now.
Yep, that is.
The Rock's closed, and then all that shifted over there. And it's great.
Yeah, being down in the Keller is one of my favorite places to see a show.
Yeah,
I not only see very familiar bands down there, but I like their bar down there too. The selection, we'll just put it that way. So I'll go down there for a beverage if I'm going to head upstairs for a show, and I cannot even count the number of times where I'm ordering a beer, I'm waiting, I'm paying attention, I get a beer, and I'm still paying attention, and then I'm paying more attention to whatever band this is. Without the Keller, you know, it
filled the void.
Yeah.
After the Rocks closed, which was the Rocks for a period of time, was that's where you go to see original music.
Mm-hmm.
That's I played there with the Nelson Flavor.
Yeah.
And, you know, when a big person like Afro Man was coming through town, we got to open for Afro Man. So that's another kind of fun thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, that place was, the lease was sold out to what's now kind of a chain bar restaurant.
Yep.
And but it was just, thank God that, you know, the people recognized, whoa, let's make this scene's got to find a space. And that's actually how I get into my other business, another bar restaurant, but then it got so small we didn't really have a stage space. But
we
wanted to have that.
Yeah, that would be very tricky for you all to do.
Yeah.
Well, keep it what works.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, one of the really nice things I like about your bar, there are no TVs.
Correct.
Yeah.
Purposefully. Yep. So you can walk into the tavern, and yeah, so that's the Old Capitol Tavern in Sock Rapids, and you know, it's more mostly food and craft beverages. But the goal of originally was to have a small stage at least. Oh. You know, I'm still focused on downtown St. Cloud and.
Oh yeah, bringing back this thing, because it was like I said, I moved to town 16 years ago, and the music scene is literally what hooked me.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing Surge County Pachanga Society, that was like the first band I saw in town, but then I started seeing all these others. Then there was the Earth Mother Mind Jam thing that went on, and you know, little music festival things, and just all these different entities were happening, musical entities, and it was wonderful. Yeah. And it hooked me. But yeah, then you're right. There was a shift in the dynamic. I want to blame computers.
Well, that's the other thing. So you're talking about that second grader who can have that thing. So think of that bumper stickers like think globally, act locally, right? Well, these kids and their computers, they have a global audience, whether it's SoundCloud. You know, I mean, you even have a subgenre, SoundCloud hip hop, right? That's a whole entire subgenre.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, I think... Well, it was MySpace back when I kind of started. But now they can produce it for people around the world. But where do you take it to actually meet with and be with people? That's something that I think we need to create that space. It's needed. It's essential for, you know, humans are social creatures and not just internet social creatures. We have to get them out of their apartment buildings and with some people, do some live performances. And any, you know, big musician will say, we don't make money from selling music. It's all about that live performance. That's an experience that can be shared much more than, you know, just listening to something yourself on your apartment. So let's get them out of the apartments and into the venues and see what happens.
Well, I think it does. I think it mixes both ways. As part of the Mid Nemo project, we had Waya Asub. They're mostly local now, a couple of them from up here, but they're down in the cities now because, you know, you get big, you go to the cities and that kind of thing. So they were up here in our performance studio, and, you know, these are people that are also from our community and that have done stuff with the schools up here. And so what they're showing the second grader what they could do, and they've got a nice message with their music too. But as they're performing in our performance studio, there are a couple of guys wandering around with phones and they're live streaming this on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the numbers on the guy with the two phones that I'm next to, and Jim Gray is looking at the numbers of the other guy, and we counted up and there were over 250,000 people watching live.
Wow.
Yeah. It was, I mean, because bam, that's what we have in our community. I mean, you can kind of do that in this small space, but at the same time, let's engage the immediate community at the same time that we're engaging the larger community, because we have that potential.
Yes.
Especially with kids today.
Yeah. Question is, when? And soon is the answer. So,
very
got some
cool
things rolling. Hopefully, we'll do a little kickoff event in October of this year. Just kind of get some sustaining donors rolling to cover some rent and nail down the perfect space downtown, and like I said, if we build it, they will come.
Oh, you know it. You know it. Right on.
I just, I think this is a wonderful highlight of our community that's understated, underrated. All the bands that came from out of town to play for Common Roots Fest the past couple years, they just thought this was great. They're like, wow, we didn't know you had all these venues and then some. I mean, it's part of what kept me in St. Cloud. I was one of those few who was like, I'm going to go to college, graduate, and move to uptown Minneapolis, right?
Yeah.
But there are many things that kept me here. However, back to the basic is what kind of keeps me going. Where do I can always fall back is music. And that scene has always been here to save me from wandering too far in directions that probably would have been more boring. So.
Right on. Well, thanks, man.
No problem. Thank you.
We've been talking with Zach Dorhall from the Independent Music Collaborators of Central Minnesota as part of our conversation about the Common Roots Festival 2019, which is a kickoff party at the Beaver Island Brewery this Wednesday, August 21st, beginning at 5. And the musicians take the stages all over downtown St. Cloud on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. For more information on the 200-plus artists, you can find it online at commonrootsfest.com. Link to it off of our website at kvsc.org. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack reminding you to support live music because you need it just as much as it needs you. The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through funding through a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. It has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of Amper's Diverse Radio for Minnesota's communities.